Exodus chapter number 14. We'll just try our best to be obedient to the Lord and what He'd have us to say, what He'd have us to deal with this morning. And I trust that you will do the same. I trust that you will do the same this morning. Everybody's familiar with this scripture, I'm sure, probably. But Exodus 14 deals with the Red Sea experience, the Red Sea miracle. And I'm interested in verse number 13, after that God used Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, which is a type of the world. God sending a human vessel into your life to influence you and to lead you in a Godward direction. And they were led out of Egypt and led to what appeared to be a dead end. But look at verse 13. It's the verse that we used and looked at a couple of Sundays ago, and haven't been able to be back in there until this morning. But in verse 13, the Bible said, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." Notice this. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now notice that. The term "the salvation of the Lord" is used here. Now we know that's a key theme throughout the Word of God, is salvation. That's the need of every human being, is to be saved. Why? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. "There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth." We've all gone astray and we need to be saved. Amen. But the Bible shows us here that we can get a great idea, we can get a great demonstration here of what salvation is. Because God said this particular miracle, this event, this experience, there where the Red Sea opened and the people went through, God said this is the salvation of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's sad, but you can't hardly look at people today and get a good illustration of what salvation is. You're hard-pressed to look, even in the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt, you're hard-pressed to find, as far as looking at a person or people, you're hard-pressed to find a living, walking demonstration of what salvation is. In other words, sinners ought to be able to look at me and look at you and say, "Hey, if I get saved, that's what's going to happen to me." Amen? But most sinners look at most professing Christians and they say, "If that is salvation, I don't want it." Because they see people make professions. And by the way, there is an eternal difference between a profession and a possession. Amen? Just because you made a profession doesn't mean that you know the Lord. Amen? But sinners look at many people today with a filthy mouth, and they look at people with no desire for God. They see people living the same way they're living, and they're saying, "Why do I want what you've got when I've already got what you've got?" Being saved, brother, makes a difference. God makes a change in your life. But anyway, there's a lot we could say there. But what we have before us is an Old Testament illustration, portrait, demonstration of what it means to be saved. Amen. Well, we know that this is true. Even in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, here's what the Lord said. This is after, the next chapter after the Red Sea experience. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song, and He is become my salvation. Do you see that? He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. But notice that even Moses makes reference to what had just happened to them in chapter 14. He referenced it as salvation. Psalms 106, verse 8, starting with verse 8. Listen, this is an account of chapter 14. This is a record of chapter 14. "Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake,
that He might make His mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Didn't matter to Him. Depths or wilderness. Well, look at that. Sometimes we get bogged down in the wilderness. But God said, I can lead you through the wilderness, and I can lead you through the depths. Going through any deep problems? Going through any deep situation? Looks impossible? God said, hey, I'm going to tell you what. I can lead you. I can lead you when it's dry. Oh, God's trying to say something right there to somebody. God said, I can lead you when it's dry, the wilderness, or I can lead you when it's deep. God's not controlled by dryness or depth. He said in that verse, and I've never seen that till just now, the Bible said He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Do you note there, verse 8 and verse 10, He uses the term, He saved them. So we know that Exodus 14 can be looked at as an illustration of what salvation is. Amen. So I want to look at if that is true, and it is. Moses did say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The deliverance of the Lord. The rescue of the Lord. If that is salvation, then I want to look at it and see if I can see what I've got in that. Amen. Don't try to make the Bible line up with your experience. See, a lot of people, they have some kind of off-the-wall experience, and then they go try to find a verse to prove it. Amen. The Bible produces salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Amen? And the Word of God is the seed. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen? Of His own will, James 1:17, of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth. Nobody gets saved apart from the Word of God. So if you're saved by the Word, then your salvation is in the Word. And you ought to be able to look in the Word and find, there I am. That happened to me. This is true. This Bible, praise God, ought to verify your salvation. John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they that testify of me. Jesus said that. Are you saved this morning? I don't know if you are or not. The only one on planet Earth. Are you listening? I'm talking about planet Earth. We're talking 6.5, almost 7 billion people. The only one on planet Earth that I know for a fact is saved from Adam to the present is me. I didn't say I'm the only one saved. I said I'm the only one I know for a fact is. Amen. And you ought to feel that same way. Your salvation ought to be that same. That ought to be that fact. Amen. Well, here's what I want to deal with. I've got more to deal with than I can get dealt with. Amen. It's a bubbling up inside me. I can't understand it. Amen. But the first thing we looked at is not only this salvation. First of all, it's seen, number one, in the fact that it was a design of God. It was God's idea. Moses, when he led them out, didn't say, all right, boys, we're going to the Red Sea and we're going to be hemmed in. No. He was led there. The people that God is saving here was led there. Salvation, Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. It's a design of God. Brother, getting saved is not of man's ideas. It doesn't come through a human origin. It's divine in its design. Amen? And we talked about that and preached about that. Amen? But also, number two, we noticed that it's a deliverance of grace. Moses said, stand still and what? See the salvation of the Lord. Not work, not walk, not war, not do, but see. So it tells me, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, tells me that it's a work of grace. I'm saved not by what I've done, not by what I can do. I'm saved because of what God has done and is doing. Amen. Stand still means you're not walking for it. Stand still means you're not working for it. Stand still means you're not warring for it. But I tell you what stand still does say, that you can see it. Stand still and see it. See the salvation of the Lord. Hey, is there any salvation in your life that you can see? I know we're saved by faith, but I'm going to tell you what's truth. There's evidence in your life if you're saved. Amen? There's fruit in your life that if you're saved. It's in your life. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Can you see it? Salvation, I know you won't find this word in the dictionary, but salvation is seeable. Sounded like a good word anyway. Amen. Salvation is visible. Salvation is detectable. Listen, come on. Salvation is not invisible. I'm saved, preacher, but I can't see no evidence of it. I'm saved, preacher, but my family don't see nothing. I'm saved, but my husband don't see nothing. My wife don't see nothing. My children don't see nothing. People I work with don't see nothing. My family don't see nothing. My in-laws don't see nothing. Wrong. No such thing as a salvation you can't see. Amen. Let me ask you this. Is there such a thing as a creation that you cannot see? Right? God created the creation. It's visible. It's not. It makes Him known. It all points to Him. It's very evident. Guess what salvation is? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You know what salvation is? Salvation is the Creator creating a new creature out of you. And it'll be as visible, it'll be as apparent as my friend the sun and the moon and stars and rivers and mountains. Amen. And the flowers. Thank God. Woo! It's a deliverance of grace. You can see it. You can't do it. You can't perform it. But you can see it. You can watch it. Well, if you look at it, what do you see? I mean, we're talking about the deliverance of grace. I wrote this down sitting over here. Here's what it is. What do you look at when you see? First of all, you recognize it's supernatural. That Red Sea opening up didn't come through machinery. That didn't come through a big blower of some sort. That come from the boss. That come from the heavens. That come from God. So if you look at salvation, the first thing you're going to notice is it's not natural for a sea to open up and to walk through it. It's not natural for a sinner to get saved. It's supernatural. It must come, if it was natural, listen, come here. If it was natural, it could be produced by natural means. But since it's supernatural, it can only be produced by supernatural means, a supernatural God, a supernatural Spirit, a supernatural Savior, a supernatural Bible. Amen. Producing a supernatural birth. So you'll see that it's supernatural. Something else you're going to see. You're going to see it's real. They weren't imagining that sea opening up. That wasn't imaginary. They weren't dreaming. That was real. Amen. Me being saved, Brother Ivan, I'm not hallucinating. I've not been psyching myself out for 28 years to keep myself from going back to the bar stool and honky-tonk and dance floor and all that bunch of junk. No, brother, it's real to me. I'll tell you how real it is. It's just as real to me that I'm saved as that Red Sea opening up and the people walking through it. It's real, buddy. It's imaginary. It's not imaginary. It's woo, glory to God. It's a real experience. Amen. Let me tell you this. Not only did the people that received it saw that it was real, But the people that didn't get in on it also watched. Wow! Those Egyptians, people of the world, still lost. They saw it. Hey, man, does any lost people see that you're saved? Oh, not that they hear that you're saved. Anybody can talk and say something, claim it, but do they see anything out of you? The Egyptians saw the sea open and the people, as the text reveals, get saved. Amen. Does lost people see what you got? Amen. Can you take what you got and fold it up and put it in a little envelope and put it in your pocket and hide it? Pull it out on Sunday morning when it's time to go to church? Put it on like a tie? Or socks or shoes? No! Salvation, my friend, is not something you can put in an envelope. Salvation envelops you. Amen. Well, anyway, you'll see when you look at it, it's a deliverance of grace in the fact that it's supernatural. It's real. It's a real experience. Salvation is a real experience. I can't say that enough. It's a real experience, and I don't want to get bogged down right here. And I'm going to tell you a lot of these super-duper, these high-powered soul winners, I'm going to tell you a lot of them are offering a salvation without an experience. Knock on their door and run them through a few Bible facts and ask them, do you believe that? And then run them through a repeat after me prayer and tell them they're saved. No experience. Weren't under conviction. Weren't drawn of God. Amen. I've seen it in action. I've been with them. No experience. And you know what? Those people that claim to get saved under that kind, they doubt their salvation all the time. Why? They don't have no experience. Amen. Amen. What'd you see? When you got saved, what'd you see? This passage right here said they saw the salvation of the Lord. What did you see? I tell you, buddy, when the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with a sinner about getting saved, I tell you one thing you'll see. You'll see that you're a no-count, good-for-nothing heathen. You'll see that you're a sinner, a transgressor of the law of God, in trouble with God. That's what you'll see. You won't go to the altar popping bubble gum and twiddling your fingers and laughing. When the Holy Spirit, buddy, hangs you out over hell under the condemnation of God because you're a sinner, I'll tell you, you recognize, I'm in trouble with God. I tell you what else you'll see. You'll not only see that you're a sinner, you'll feel it. Brother, the weightiness of a broken law, the condemnation of God weighing heavy on your soul. I tell you what's missing in most people's conversion is conviction. Spirit of God convicting you and convincing you that you're guilty, that you're a sinner. Not only will you see that you're a sinner, when you see salvation, see this, it's something you can see. You'll see you're a sinner, but thank God, you're going to see that Christ is the Savior. Hallelujah. He won't be just some Bible character that we heard Bible stories about, Brother Carl, back when we was little in Sunday school, or coming up in VBS Bible school, or something. I'll tell you, nobody, when God, the Holy Spirit, begins to deal with you, you'll not only see you're a sinner, those people at the Red Sea saw they was in trouble. Oh, the enemy's coming in behind, we're hemmed up, no way out. They saw themselves in trouble. And was full of fear. God will show you you're a sinner. And then God will show you He's the Savior. God will show you He can do it. That's when Moses said, hey, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch Him work in your behalf. Well, Lord, I could preach on that half the morning. Amen. They recognized, they saw it was only hope of deliverance. They saw when they, and it is something you can see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, can you see anything? Here's something they saw. This is good. You know what they saw? They saw that God's salvation is all inclusive. The same salvation that Mama got, Daddy God, and Sister God, and Brother God. Families walked through the same. Amen. Grandparents got saved the same way grandchildren got saved. God don't have a plan A, B, or C. Amen. God has a salvation, one salvation, and it's Christ. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Oh, thank God. It's at the name of Jesus that we're saved. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So they saw it to be all inclusive. Can children look at mom and daddy and see, that's what I need? Just like mama's got saved, I can get saved. What mama's got, I can have it. What daddy's got, I can have it. It's all inclusive. There wasn't but one path through that Red Sea. One. Not a selection. If you don't want to walk through the Red Sea, there's a boat over here. You can paddle yourself, work. You know. Now, that's some of them songs you know that they sang today. Climbing up the rough side. Y'all pray for me, I'm trying to get saved. I'm climbing up the rough side and hopefully I'll make it in. Huh? Believers are not... We're not in the boat. Amen. We're not paddling. We're not working. We're not climbing. Praise God. We're saved by His work. Anyway, let me go on. I've got to go on. Y'all ready for me to go on? Listen to this. Not only is it a design of God, it's a deliverance of grace. But I want to tell you number three. I tell you what salvation does. Y'all ready? If I can preach this without passing out, I'll be doing good. Amen. Salvation is not only a design of God and a deliverance of grace, but it defeats the enemy. Salvation wasn't just what God did for me. I can look back behind me and see what He done to my enemies. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me get this out. Amen. Amen. Well, the enemy tried. The enemy tried everywhere in the world to prevent them from getting saved. Pharaoh's a type of the devil that was overseeing their bondage and sin in the world. And brother, listen, when God sent the leader and God slew the lamb and the blood was on the doorpost and they were coming out. Amen. Guess what? Pharaoh said, what in the world am I doing letting them go? They're my best drinkers and cussers and dancers and they're my best sinners. What am I doing letting them go? Listening to that preacher. Preacher Moses. Watch this right here. Pharaoh, type of the devil, said, get all the chariots and the horses and go get them. We're not letting them get saved. We're wanting them to serve us. And I'm telling you, Pharaoh thought that he could prevent that salvation. He thought he had enough ammunition. He thought he had enough army. He thought he had enough ability to stop the mighty hand of God from saving His people. Go get them. And son, here they come. And the Bible said, look, can I read it to you? Look at right here. You'd have to go back and read in this same chapter, verse 4 through 10, and you find where the Bible said that he followed hard after them. Amen? And I tell you what, listen to this. He followed hard after them. I mean, on their heels, buddy. My friend trying every way to prevent salvation. And guess what? Excuse me. Guess what happened? Oh, Lord, I can't hardly preach this. You know what Eric he did? God says, oh, I think I'm bigger than you are. And God just come around behind them and put the pillar of fire behind them. Hey, I want to tell you what, friend. If it had been left up to the devil, none of us would have ever gotten saved. We was too good of servants. We was too good of sin slaves, Brother John. Oh, the devil wouldn't have never allowed that to happen. But thank God, while we were being drawn, while we were being led in a Godward direction, guess what God said? God just come around and said, hey, leave them alone. God kept the devil off of the people till He could save them. And watch this right here. He followed hard after them. Pharaoh's army and all they did. Followed hard after them to verse number 12. Look at it. Here's what the people said. And here's what I've heard sinners say in a roundabout way. Look at it. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? You know what that is, Brother Carl? The devil coming in behind them, buddy, putting the heat on them. I hope y'all are paying attention. I'm not reading a fairy tale. I'm preaching this morning. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, the devil coming hard after him. You're not getting saved. You're not getting saved. I'm not going to let you get saved. I want you to stay in my army. I want you to stay on my cause. I want you to keep serving me. And I'm not going to let you get saved. And he'll hound you and cause all the problems he can in your life. And it might even be that during that process of being saved and getting saved, I tell you, it could be that your life falls about half all to pieces. And you think, my soul, I didn't have it this bad in Egypt. I didn't have it this bad when I was in the world. I didn't have it this bad when I was serving the Egyptians. And the devil hounded them and brother was harassing them to the point that the people that was on the very edge of getting saved was telling the Moses, I told you, just leave us alone. Sinners will tell you that. Maybe not verbally, but they'll tell you in action and with their face, leave me alone. Quit talking to me about Jesus. Quit talking to me about the Bible. Quit talking to me about church. Quit witnessing to me. Quit handing me tracts. You know what they're telling you? Leave me alone. Sinner friend, listen. The last thing on planet Earth for you to need is for a saint of God to leave you alone. God can't save you. Listen, God can't save you without a human instrument. Took Philip to get that eunuch saved. Took Paul to get the Philippian jailer saved. Somebody influenced you if you're saved. And you're influencing somebody if they're going to get saved. Listen, don't you get mad at God. Listen, when God gets to dealing with you and starts putting you under conviction and all of a sudden you start encountering all kinds of problems and all kinds of difficulties in your life, don't get upset at that. Don't say to the preacher and to God and to the saints, leave me alone. You're on the edge of getting saved, amen. Amen. Well, let me go ahead and deal with this. It defeats the enemy. Guess what the enemy tried to do? Guess what the enemy tried to do on their own? They tried to get saved on their own. They tried to go through the same Red Sea run car on their own. How many people have saw other people getting saved and they think, man, I tell you what I'll do. I'll just go to the altar also. No conviction, no faith, no nothing. How many people have went to the altar because somebody else went and it didn't save you? You didn't get saved? God don't save in duplication. I'll tell you why they didn't get saved. Let me tell you why they didn't get saved. I got the Bible on it. You want the Bible on it? If I can see it. Hebrews chapter number 11. They forsook Egypt in verse 27, verse 28, through faith. He kept the Passover, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. You know how we're saved? F-A-I-T-H. Not just blind faith, but faith in the Word. God said, go forward. Forward? That's an impossibility. I can't do that. God said, go forward. And by faith, let's go, boys. Sink or swim, we're going to trust God. Amen. Live or die, we're going to trust God. Amen. And as they passed through the Red Sea by faith, I guarantee they said, wow. Woo! Glory to God, isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Brother Carl, it reminds what you said to me the other day. We was talking about this passage. He said, you know they had probably some of them old boys over. Because what happened to that Red Sea was actually it congealed, just like jello up on the side. And you know good and well that there's probably some old toe-headed boys there, mean as a snake probably, and they probably wanted to go over and stick her finger in that wall of water. Hey, amen. Might have been able to look like at least this aquarium looking at all them fish when we're in there. Who knows? But it was a glorious experience. But the Egyptians, the lost people, tried to do what go in the same salvation the saved people did. Minus faith, minus a word from God, minus leadership. And guess what happened? The salvation that saved God's people killed sinners. You cannot get saved. I can't put a bigger word on it. Cannot. You cannot get saved on your own. I mean, you can come up here and do what I did. You can come up here and pray a little prayer and claim a little verse. My friend, you can do that. But if it's not mixed with faith, if the Word is not mixed with faith in them that hear it, it'll not produce salvation. You know why I went to the altar 28 years ago, Brother Bob, and I got saved? I tell you why. God, on about the fifth row back on the second night of a 7-week revival, got personal with me and dealt with me and showed me that all I had was religion. I didn't have a relationship. My heart, my head had some Bible facts, but my heart was empty of God. And He dealt with me and drew me, my friend, to that old-fashioned altar. And faith was generated in my soul. And when I got in that old-fashioned an altar. Faith says, God, I believe. Amen.
Amen.
You know what God did? He opened up that Red Sea with the blast of His nostrils. Praise God. Amen. And what I could not walk in now is opening up in front of me. Oh, this is getting good. It's getting good. Before I got saved, Brother Silas, I didn't want to walk to church. I didn't want to walk in church. It wasn't open in front of me. Oh, the door was open. The invitation was that Mom and Daddy went. But it wasn't open for me. Because I wasn't saved. And I didn't want to go to church. That's a good indication. I don't want to go to church. I don't want nothing to do with God. I even left home, Brother Ivan. Y'all heard my testimony? Amen. Y'all heard my testimony? I left home over the deal of going to church. Daddy said, "You, as long as you live here," I was 20 years old too, by the way. I don't care if you're 20 or 90. You're at the house. You're to honor your parents. Amen.
Amen.
Daddy said, "You live here." They said, "You live here and eat this food and sleep in my bed and all that. Hey, man, take showers with my water. You're going to do as I said. And going to church is not up for discussion. Going to church is not an option. You're going to the house of God." And I thought in myself, I said, "I'll show you, big boy." I didn't say that or I wouldn't have been getting up. I guarantee it. I've been told like this. Amen. It might have been like this. It might have been walking like this. So I just said it in my heart. And I said, I'll show you. And I left home that night. Took all my stuff and left home. Daddy never did budge. He never called and said, son, I'm sorry. I don't care if you ever go to church. Please come home. No. Daddy is like a rock, son. Boom! I said it and that settles it. Like it or lump it. Anyway, to make a long story short, going to church wasn't open to me. Y'all don't care if I enjoy this, do you? I'm just taking a few strolls down memory lane. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what happened, brother, there in that altar. I went from a rebellious son to a son of God. And I'm going to tell you what God did in front of me. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Lord, before I got saved, I didn't want to live right. Now you've opened up in front of me the paths of righteousness that you want me to walk in for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Before I got saved, I had no desire to read the Word of God. But when I got saved, now God gives me the commandments. Amen. And I read it. It's my diet. Amen. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And I begin to walk to go to church. I begin to walk the paths of righteousness. Before I got saved, I loved sin. But amen. And not righteousness. I'm troubled about people who claim to be saved when there's seemingly nothing spiritual opening up in front of them. No paths opening up in front of them. Hey, no faith. That's what bothers me about a lot of people. Ain't no faith in people. Faith is active. Faith will generate action in your life. Hebrews 11, the whole chapter is on faith. And it says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. And it said what they did because of their faith. Faith motivated Noah to build an ark. Amen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, that's the word, being warned of God of things not yet seen, build an ark to the saving of his house. What is your faith motivating and generating you to do? I'm telling you, dear friend, listen to me. Please, or listen to the word, listen to God. But please, salvation doesn't just deliver you. But as my point I'm preaching now, it defeats the enemy. Before I got saved, friend. Before I got saved, buddy, I was like a mule in the harness. Whatever my master said. He said G-I-G, whatever the direction that is. And if he said ha, I hawed. Amen. I plowed for him. That's good. Planting the seeds of sin and wickedness and ungodliness and influencing everybody I could in that direction. I didn't care about their soul, their destiny. All I cared about was popularity and fitting in and everybody laughing at me. Amen. How many friends do I have? How many parties do they want me at? Are you listening? But when I got saved, you know what happened to all that lifestyle? You know what happened to all of those desires? You know what happened to all of that? After I went through salvation, I turned around and thought, look, man. And guess what was happening behind me? Amen. Hey, man. You know what I didn't do? Go hunting and swimming for my desires. Where's my friends at? Where's the nearest party at? No! All that old my life was drowned behind me. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Could I give you one more point? Lord have mercy. I'm about to preach myself to death. Could I tell you another thing it does? Not only is the design of God, deliverance of grace, it defeats the enemy. But number four, it divides the saved from the lost. You know what the big difference? Come on. Amen. Let me preach here. You know what the big difference was between the saved and the lost in that situation? Lost people were dead. And saved people were alive. You claim to be saved? Hey! You claim to be saved? Where's alive at? I like what Brother Mark said, and I've said it too. Jesus didn't just give you, He didn't just give His life for you. He gave His life to you. He said it this morning, salvation's a death, buddy. You die. Your old life is over. I like what Brother Chris Norris said to a man that would come to the altar the other night. He's an alcoholic, full-blown alcoholic, drunk. You know what he said? He said, I want to get saved, but I don't want to quit drinking. You know what Brother Chris said? You're wasting your time. Ain't too many people told him that. I'd have told him that. You know what he said to him, Brother Ivan? He said, you can get saved when you want to get saved more than you want to drink. Amen! I'm telling you, buddy, you know what divides me from the heathen? It's not my little goody-two-shoe Phariseeism, thumbs under suspenders, I'm better than you lifestyle. No! The only thing that separates me from the heathen, I'd still be in Egypt if it hadn't have been for the God of heaven working in my behalf. Amen. Salvation that does not separate you from the lost, is it salvation? Well, preacher, I'm saved, but I want to still go with them and fit in with them and do what they do. And you're going to hang on that and trust it to take you to heaven when you die. I wouldn't trust it to take me to Walmart, much less heaven. Amen. Amen. Salvation, buddy, activates in the believer a life of sanctification. God sets you apart unto Himself. Let me deal with something else. I didn't get all that down, but I want to give you this. Let me just give you this word. This is not original to me, but listen, it's good. I believe it was Adoniram Judson said it, or Hudson Taylor said it. Holy practice is the proper evidence of saving faith. Amen. You know as well as I do, people are by the dozens and by the hundreds and even by the thousands claim to be saved, but there's no difference between them and the unbeliever. I read it this morning. Can I read this verse to you before I go to the next point? We'll go eat in a minute, praise God. I'm eating right now. Let me give you this point. Let me look right here. Exodus. Look at Exodus 23. 8:23. 8:23. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. That's what salvation does. Salvation makes you different. That's right. And you mark another one down if you'd like to, chapter 11, verse 7. It goes on to say there in the latter part of that verse, the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. I tell you what salvation does. Salvation divides the saved from the lost. Can I give you one more right quick? I'm not done, but let me just give you one more here. Salvation. Oh, this is good. Remember when I said I turned around and all that was just... Guess what that was doing? Here's what salvation does. Salvation defends against a return to Egypt. God will open her up for you to get out of Egypt, but He'll never open it up for you to go back to Egypt. You say, preacher, why are you not back in the world? Why are you not back in the world? I can't. I'm saved. Well, amen. I enjoyed that one pretty good myself. Amen. Salvation defends against a return back to Egypt. Salvation, can I give you this? I'm so close to being done now, I might as well finish it. Salvation directs you toward the will of God. That salvation right there
headed them to Canaan and the will of God. And listen, I don't have time to go through and read all these verses. This is on tape, so I'm just going to give it. Chapter 7, verse 16. Chapter 8, verse 1, verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 1, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 3, 7, and 8, 11, 24, 26. Chapter 12 of Exodus and verse 31 and chapter 14 and verse 12, all of them talks about, let my people go that they may, here's the word, serve me. What is salvation? Where am I? Thank you, God. I'm a sweating. Some of you are too. Amen. Salvation, brother, directs you toward the will of God. What's the will of God? Let my people go that they may serve me. Salvation that does not produce service is a phony profession. First thing out of Paul's mouth when he got saved, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Salvation that does not produce service is not scriptural. But anyway, let my people go that they may serve me. And then I'm going to deal with this one. Y'all ready for this one? I don't know what number this is. I lost count. Another thing I see here about this salvation, it delights the soul in celebration. Chapter 15, soon as they got across the Red Sea, soon as they experienced this salvation of the Lord, guess what they started doing? Moses said, strike up the choir, boys, and sing about this wonderful salvation. That's what chapter 15 is a song. Verse 1, then when? When they got saved. After they got saved. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, listen, unto the Lord. Not about the Lord, but unto the Lord. And spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord. I don't know what tune they had. For He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare Him habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. It went on down in that song in verse 18, and the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Salvation produces, listen, salvation produces celebration. If you was happier before you made your profession than afterwards, guess what? You missed it. What is Luke 19? I know I preached all morning. It's been a while since I've had good liberty like this. Luke 19, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For I must abide at thy house. And it goes on in that passage and said, and salvation came. Salvation, he got saved. And you know what the Bible's saying? The Bible said he made haste and came down. I don't believe he climbed down. I believe he jumped. He made haste and came down. And hey, come here. The Bible said, and he received him joyfully. All the way to went down the road. Well, I'm saved. I don't get to do none of that old stuff no more than I used to do. But it's good. Would you want what I've got? No. Celebration. Deliver me. Hey! Deliver me from this old, sad, sour people that claim to be saved.
Salvation didn't ruin me. Salvation wasn't the flu. Salvation wasn't the measles. I didn't get a disease. When I got saved, I got a deliverance. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm saying so. I'm saved. I'm glad of it. My salvation is a song. I sing about the Lord. I sing to the Lord. I sing for the Lord. Thank God for the celebration that comes when salvation comes. I don't know if y'all are enjoying this near as much as I'm enjoying, but I'm having a time. Amen. Guess what I noticed, Brother Brian, right here. You ready for this? Watch this right here. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Exodus. And chapter 10, I believe it's verse 9. Let me just read it to you. Let's read one of them anyway. 5:1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." What's it? Are y'all listening? "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast." Where at? In the wilderness. A feast in the wilderness? You got to be kidding. There's nothing to eat in the wilderness. There's no fun in the wilderness. Oh, y'all see it, don't you? There's no fun in the wilderness. Nothing to do in the wilderness. It's not a vacation spot. "Let my people go." That's what some of y'all are saying this morning. Amen. My name ain't Pharaoh. Amen. I just lost it right there. Amen. "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." You know what I wrote right beside that this morning? Brother Eric, I wrote that right beside that this morning. Salvation is a feast, not a famine or a funeral. Some people act like when they got saved, they got put in the middle of a big famine. Nothing to eat. Nothing to do. But just sit around in my misery. Go to church and read the Bible. Deliver me. Don't get next to me. If you're that, don't get next to me. It might be contagious. Amen. But you're too late to convince me of that lifestyle. I've been saved 28 years, and I'm more excited about it now than I've ever been. It don't get worse, it gets better. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. When I got saved, as big as it was the little end. Miss Tara, when I got saved, as big as it was, I'm found out now for 28 years, it was the little end, it was the door, it was the entrance. And it's getting bigger and bigger. And the further we go, the closer to the house we get, it's getting bigger and bigger. And I'm going to tell you how big it's going to get. It's going to get so big that I'm going to have to lay down this old robe of flesh because it can't stand it. Amen. I'm going to have a glorified body because I'm going to step out of time into eternity. I'm going to step out of the flesh and the physical and the earthly and the natural, Brother Jeremy, and I'm going to step into the eternal. I'm going to step into God's realm. And guess what? You talking about big. I tell you how big God is. God is so big, the Bible said He inhabiteth eternity. He measures the heavens with a span. How dare we as God's people act like that getting saved is a little thing. Passing from death unto life is not a little thing. Being brought out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of His dear Son is not a little thing. Going from being a child of the devil to being a child of the King of Kings is not a little thing. From being condemned to being justified. It's not a little thing. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm involved in a feast. How can you starve? Some of you act like if you get in and serve God, you're going to starve. How can you starve in a feast, brother? You say, what in the world was they eating? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? What was they eating? Wasn't nothing in the wilderness to eat. We'll be done after a while. Who knows? This might be our last service. We may be fixing to check out. Next meal we eat might be the marriage supper, praise God. In Egypt they eat the onions and the garlics and the leeks and the melons. God brought them out where there was nothing but Him. And they began to get hungry. And they recognized there was no grocery stores. And they thought, well, we're going to starve to death. Yeah, Moses, you've led us out here to starve. God, you heard what they said. It's time to eat. God rained manna down from heaven. Heavenly food that surpasses and beats the onions, leeks, garlics, onions, and melons of Egypt. Oh, there's no comparison, amen, to those wafers from heaven. They got a hold of that and they started chomping on that manna that was fresh every morning. Hey, man! The Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How long's it been since you got a bite? Amen. And you got a good bite of something from heaven. You know why, Brother Cody, a lot of people don't feed on heavenly things? They got their mouth full of earthly things. Hey man, you're not going to like manna if you eat old nasty carnal candy bars. Amen. Heavenly food. It's a feast to be saved. I'm not knocking eating candy bars. I'm talking about a comparison. What the world can provide versus what God can provide. It's a feast. Guess what that word feast means? Celebration. Guess what else it means, Brother Mike? A festival. You know what you don't find in a festival? You don't find somebody sitting over in the corner. You know, kind of with a baptistic face. Oh, it's good to be saved. I wish that preacher would shut up. No, what you find in a festival is people feasting. A festival, if I know anything about a festival is fun. Hello? Did y'all read my lips? I know I preach long. A festival is fun. Could I put it like this? It is fun to be saved. Yeah, there's valleys. Yes, there's giants to face. Yes, there's difficulties. Yes, there's adversities. Yes, there is. But it's still wonderful to be saved. Well, I wish I could get young people to see and people to see what I'm preaching this morning. Being saved is the world can't put on. The world can't do a festival. No. Not that'll help you. Ruin you. You know what I told somebody the other day? I'm right now through. I'm like that airplane's been flying high for a while. I'm coming in and just getting ready to set her down on the runway. Do you know what I told somebody today, this week? Brother Brian, it might have been you who was riding, or I don't know now, Brother Silas. Some of y'all rode with me to revival. I said, I'd sure like to see somebody just get saved. I mean genuinely saved. Not go to the altar, make a prayer and profession, but I mean genuinely saved. Like Miss Terry. Get saved. And I'm talking whoosh, complete turnaround. What she hates, she now loves. And what she used to love, she now hates. Amen. I mean, her husband used to sit right up here.
Y'all pray for my wife. Well, I wish my wife would get saved. Now her life is saved. Hallelujah. And they sit right there together. Praise God. Serving Jesus. I'd love to see somebody get saved. I mean, their life changed. Not just a profession. Hallelujah, Brother Chuck. You know, Brother Chuck, I've not heard you request prayer for your wife getting saved ever again. You know why? She crossed the Red Sea. It closed in behind her. And she's headed out. She likes what she's in. She's in a cell. Hey! You know what Miss Tara right there noticed? When she got saved, Brother Henry, she got in a celebration. That'll keep you from wanting to go back to the onions, leeks, and garlics of the world. That'll keep you from wanting to go back to the honky-tonk. That'll keep you, my friend, wanting to fit in with that crowd that hates God. That'll keep you from it. Amen. Hey, feast. A feast. Boy, I'm feeding. Brother, this Word of God will feed you, buddy. What does salvation do? It delights the soul. Hallelujah, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. Yes, amen. I think we ought to hit that in another league. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. Let's all stand on our feet. Amen.